Christian men, absolutely every aspect of our discipleship is lived out as men and not as women. The shape of our Christianity comes to us in the shape of who God has made us to be in his image as men. Of course, the women, likewise, as women. They walk as Christians, as women. We walk as Christians, as men. And of course, we've spent time on unpacking those things for us as men. We're not going to be doing all that tonight. But just briefly to touch on that, because it's going to come down into a very, very specific area. We see that our calling as men, every single one of us comes to us in Genesis, right? And we see that in Genesis chapter 1, as God makes the world, and in chapter 2, as God forms Adam, Adam is given the specific task to work and to keep the garden. And we've reflected on the shape of our calling as men that's bound up in those two words. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we see in Adam, are given this calling to be priest kings in the world. And we're given this work to work and to keep. There's the labor, the expanding the borders of Eden aspect, the original intention of God, right? That we would extend his rule and his glory into the whole world that he's made, right? Extending Eden so that the whole world would become an Eden. And we are to work for that, cultivating, and then we are to guard it and keep it. And we've talked about how as we come through scriptures, those are the very words that are used to describe the work of the priest in the temple. And so we can't get into all those details, but it's really beautiful and wonderful to see God's creation as his temple garden there in Eden and his intention that that would ultimately cover the whole world. And we know that the way that that comes to pass, since we absolutely and utterly failed in Adam to do that, the way that that comes to pass is through our priest king, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to undo what we did in destroying all that God had designed for us. And then in the glorious finished work of Christ, he remakes us in his image. He's renovating us. He's renewing us. He's reshaping us. And so now, in Christ, being regenerated in him, having his spirit and having his word, we do begin under Christ to reform into the role that he has given us, the original intention that he had for us. And we execute our work as men in that way. And so we've talked about how normally the way that that comes together in the life of an individual man is in cultivating a household. And of course, we've talked about how as you, our young men are here, 13 years old, 14 years old, etc., you, at this stage in your life, you work out this masculinity in your own context individually. You exercise rule over your own life and over your own sphere that you've been given under the authority of your parents at this time, looking towards this household that you are called to build down the road. And normatively speaking, that will include pursuing and finding a wife, building a family, having and raising children. Now, we've also looked at the various aspects of the task that's given to a man as he forms a household in relation to his wife and his children, in relation to other people that he comes in contact with. But one of the things that we specifically focus on is that we must be men who speak the word of God to our wives and children. We must be men who speak to our wives and children about God. But we also must be men who speak to God about our wives and children. And it's the second half, or the second statement there, that I want to focus on this evening for us. We must be men who speak to God about our wives and our children. Now, before those who aren't yet husbands or fathers tune out, you guys here, you are called as a man of God, as a godly man, whether you're 12 or 21 or 91, you are called to a life of prayer. And under that, or more narrowly underneath that, you are called to a life of intercessory prayer. If you are a Christian, you are called to a life of intercessory prayer. You're called to pray for, to intercede for other people. Private intercession on behalf of others is an excellent way to, of course, obey God. He calls us to pray. He calls us to pray for others. But it's an excellent way to cultivate selflessness. Intercessory prayer necessitates looking outside of ourselves, looking toward others, and thinking about them, thinking about their needs, thinking about their struggles, thinking about their trials. Every young brother in here, if you are a Christian, you're called to private intercession on behalf of others. This is an excellent way to orient you outside of yourself and towards other people. It's an excellent way to cultivate humility before the Lord, looking to Him not only to provide for you, but looking to Him to provide on behalf of other people. And so this is a call for everyone. This is my goal for this evening, for every one of us. So here it is. You remember this, you'll be able to remember the goal for tonight. I wanted it to be very concrete and very clear. The goal for this evening is that we would begin, grow in, or be encouraged in the habit of daily intercessory prayer for those in closest relation to us. So that's the goal. If you have a paper, you want to jot that down. That's what you want to remember this evening. That we would begin. That's where some are at this evening. Begin. Grow in or be encouraged in the habit of daily intercessory prayer for those in closest relation to us. I'm talking here about a habit, something that continually happens. Habits are the foundation of everything good that happens in our lives. Habits are the foundation of all the change that we see in our lives. Habits are the foundation of the accomplishments and the fruit that we see in our lives. Those things don't happen apart from habits. Habits are those things that become so much a part of what we do, they become ingrained in who we are, that though occasionally we do have to think about them, we have to still exercise discipline, but it's not a restart every time. It's not beginning the whole process again every time. Once it's a habit, it happens in some sense automatically. Again, not to say there's not need for discipline, not to say that we don't need to persevere in it, but developing habits is extremely powerful in our lives. And so that's the goal here, is that we would begin, grow in, or be encouraged in the habit of daily intercessory prayer for those who are in closest relation to us. You know, it's interesting that when Paul is speaking in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he specifically says, I desire that men everywhere would pray. Of course, all Christians are called to pray. The lifeblood of the Christian is prayer. We're dependent upon God. We express that in prayer. But there is this specific calling upon us as men to, as those who are called to reflect our Heavenly Father, as those who are called to model our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically to be cultivating shepherdly hearts and shepherdly lives, we look to the chief shepherd, we look to the great shepherd, and what do we find? He is the intercessor par excellence. What is the great aspect of his priestly work? We think of his prayer in John chapter 17 as he prays for his people, and we see a little window into his intercession, which now, having gone to the cross, having gone to the grave, having risen from the dead, having ascended to the right hand of the Father, now continually he intercedes for his people. That is what the great shepherd looks like. And as men, we are called to cultivate shepherd hearts. Of course, that's exercised very directly in relation to wives and children, but it's exercised in our lives as men. Those things we're called to, the guarding, the protecting, that laboring care and cultivation, all of those things are bound up in the picture of the shepherd. We see it all the way through Scripture. We see it captured perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that we are to cultivate those things in our lives. And so if Jesus is the great intercessor, and in his shepherding work, both in his earthly ministry and in his exalted, glorious ministry, he interceded for people. He prayed on behalf of people. He walked in that way. Then we too, as men, should shape and model our lives after our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the ways that we shepherd those around us. One of the ways we shepherd those around us, that the one of the ways we protect them and provide for them and care for them, is by interceding for them. Think with me also about Ephesians chapter 6. Right? Classic passage. We remember this glorious and rousing call to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, to put on the whole armor of God. Right? Because why? Because our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Now, what does Ephesians 6 and the call to put on the whole armor of God, and specifically at the end there, the call to prayer, what does it come after? Well, it comes after the practical callings of our lives. Husbands, love your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and washes her with the water of the word, nourishes and cherishes her. Fathers, right? Bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. All of those things are in the context of our fight not being against flesh and blood. All of those things are carried out in that context, and that's one of the reasons why the weapon of prayer has been given to us, why we wield prayer. It's to serve those things. And so that's why I want to encourage us, help us to grow in, and hopefully call some to begin this habit, to be in daily intercessory prayer for those in closest relation to you. And so here's what I'm going to call you to do. You may have already a plan, and so you can filter that in, filter this through the plan that you have in place already, if that is you. But why would I give you a very concrete and specific plan? Well, because it is true, it's been said many times. If we fail to plan, then we plan to fail, right? Much praying does not happen because we do not plan to pray. So yes, as Christians, if you're a true Christian, you'll cry out to God at different times, because you need stuff. You need his help, right? A real Christian will cry out to God. But that doesn't mean a genuine believer will automatically have a consistent and fruitful and structured plan for intercession in their lives, right? It doesn't automatically happen. That's not what happens, right? We need to plan. We need to plan, or we will plan to fail if we fail to plan. So here's simple. I want to keep this very easy. Everyone should be able to go out of here. They've heard, okay, begin, grow, or be encouraged in this habit. Daily intercessory prayer for those in closest relationship to you. So here's what you do. If you have a notebook or a piece of paper with you now, okay, you grab one at home and you write down, okay, so if you're a husband and a father, you write down the name of your wife and you write down the names of your children, okay, on the page. Tracking with me? You can do that? Yes. You write them down. And then, tonight before you go to bed, you take 10 minutes and you pray by name for each of the names on that paper. Okay? You guys are like, well, I don't have a wife, I don't have kids. What does my paper say? Well, you have a mother and a father. You've been called to honor them. You've been called to obey them. I'm pretty sure that praying for your mom and dad will be one of the means by which you do that, you honor them, and also will be an aid for you to obey them. Okay? You want to honor and obey your mother and father? Well, what if you were praying for them by name every day? So you write the names of your parents on there. You might have siblings. Write down your siblings. You can add a couple close friends on there, right? That's why I tried to keep that. Those in closest relation to us, we don't want them right now. We're not, okay? Some of you, that's okay. You have big lists and you do that. We're talking about concrete things that we can begin, the habit that can develop. So start there, especially if you've got nothing. Start there. Don't make a 20. If you have a 23-person list, unless you have 23 siblings, which I'm pretty sure we don't have anyone with 23 siblings in here. okay, your list should not be 23 people long if you're beginning this, right? Those in closest relationship to you. So mom and dad, siblings, a couple of really close friends. And then you take 10 minutes and you pray for them by name. Habits are developed by starting now and then repeating it again and then repeating it again and repeating it again and repeating it again, and then you don't stop. That's how we do the habit, all right? 10 minutes. You pray for them. When's the best time to plant a tree? Yesterday, 20 years ago, I think is the better answer. 20 years ago. 30 years ago, right? Unless it's a poplar, then you can go shorter. The best time to plant a tree is a long time ago, right? You want a nice oak tree, like Cam's got beautiful oak tree, right? Well, you ain't getting that in your lifetime if you plant that today, right? The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. But what's the second best time? Today. What's the best time to develop a habit? Years ago, right? Who of us wish that we had cultivated certain habits when we were 12 years old? How would that serve you today? We do benefit from some of the habits we cultivated, praise the Lord. And then other times we can look back and go, that would be really wonderful if I had cultivated that habit since I was young, right? The best time to cultivate a habit was a while back. But the second best time, it's the same as the tree. The second best time is now. Start now. Start now. Start, repeat, don't stop. Start small if you are just beginning. If you already have this habit in place, maybe you have room to expand your window a little bit. But what we're doing here is leaning on compounding growth. I have no doubt that men in Cornerstone pray, that there's many men in Cornerstone that pray for their wives and their children. And yet, I also have no doubt that if from this moment forward, every man, let's just say every man 13 and up in this whole body, was praying 10 minutes a day for his wife and children or his parents and siblings and close friends, that things would be vastly different in a year. Because many haven't started. Many have left off good habits that they did start, drifted away from it. I have no doubt that things would be profoundly different a year from now. And that's why I'm calling us to this. Think of it this way. 10 minutes a day equals 70 minutes a week, which equals 300 minutes a month, which equals 3,650 minutes in a year, which just so happens to be 60.83 hours or 2.5 days. Right? Things can seem small, but 10 minutes a day is 2.5 days of interceding for those in closest relation to you. And this isn't about math, right? This is not about stacking up minutes. It's about what those minutes represent. 3,650 minutes, 60.83 hours, 2.5 days of speaking to Almighty God on behalf of your wife, your children, your parents, your siblings, your close friends. 3,650 minutes of carefully thinking about the needs, desires, and struggles of your wife before the Lord and asking Him to help her, asking Him to give her strength when the nights are long and the babies are crying, asking Him to work contentment in her as she faces particular threats to her contentment that you observe as her husband, that you see as the one who's been called to shepherd her in your home as your wife. 3,650 minutes of asking the Lord to strengthen her by His Spirit in her inner being, that she might experience more of God, know more of His love. Asking Him to make His word fruitful in her heart and in her life as she reads it and as she hears it. Asking to make her wise as she speaks with the children that God has given. As she pours out with other ladies and sisters in the church. 3,650 minutes of calling upon the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, to kindle faith in the hearts of your children. To meet them in their specific temptations that you observe as the shepherd in your home. The specific vulnerabilities that you see because you're watching them and you see what's hard for them, what they lean towards. You see their weaknesses. You see where they need to be shored up. You see where they're struggling. 3,650 minutes of interceding with the Lord that He would make His name great through your sons, that they would be straight arrows that fly out of the hand and hit the mark of the glory of God by His grace. according to his word. 3,650 minutes of praying that your daughters would be faithful women of God, that they would be fearless like Sarah, that they would have unshakable confidence in their Lord, that they would cultivate femininity, that they would glory in it, that they would delight in it. 3,650 minutes of asking the Lord to give your parents what they need as they care for you, as they provide for you, as you as a child see their work on your behalf in cultivating the home, in leading the home, in helping the home. As you give 3,650 minutes to asking the Lord to soften your heart towards your mother and father, that you would eagerly honor them, that you would eagerly obey them. 3,650 minutes of praying for your brother, your sister. I hope you see that if we give ourselves to this task, it will cultivate other aspects of our care for others, because now we are called to pay attention. Now I'm called to know, oh, I see my brother struggles in that way. He has particular trials here. I can pray for him specifically there. I'm thinking about my friend's walk with the Lord and where he might need particular help. I'm going to ask him about it. I'm going to care for him in that way. 2.5 days, and all it takes is 10 minutes. All it takes is 10 minutes. What would 2.5 days of praying multiplied by every man in Cornerstone look like in our families in 1 year's time? In 1 year's time. And for some who have a habit of intercession already, I hope just reflecting on this strengthens you and encourages you all the more. That might look like adding another 10 minutes. It might look like just pressing on in what you're doing. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Be faithful. Persevere. Our Lord loves to look to the small things. He loves to look to the moments that multiply over time. There's nothing flashy in that. And yet, the Lord delights to answer the prayers of his people. How many areas of our homes are trials and struggles because we've not given ourselves to ask, to seek, to knock, to pursue the Lord for those areas? And again, I am saying daily. Why? Because that's some rule? No. Because if you have the habit of brushing your teeth every day, you brush your teeth every day. And Jordan's got 2 times, 3 times. Okay? If you have a habit of brushing your teeth every day, you brush them every day. If you don't have the habit of brushing your teeth, when do you brush your teeth? Here, there, and sometime. When your breath is really bad, right? These are the kinds of habits that just by simple observation don't get maintained if we don't do them daily. And there's certainly no rule against praying daily for your wife and for your children by name, for your mom and dad, for your brothers and sisters, for your close friends. So that's the call. That's the vision. And God loves to work through our prayers. That's where we ought to begin, right? How much of our ministry of speaking the word to our children, of the conversations with our wives that we have, would bear 10 times the fruit if they were saturated with careful, consistent, disciplined, habitual intercessory prayer for our wives and our children, for our mom and dad, for our siblings, for our close friends. So that's the simple call this evening, brothers. It's not confusing, I trust. It's not difficult, I trust. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Simple, yes, in some ways difficult, and in other ways not difficult. Let's call each other to it. Let's spur each other on in it. Let's encourage one another in it, and let's check back to see how things are going later in the year. Father, we need you so much. We need you so much, and so many times as we reflect back on the days and the weeks, we see areas, we see times, we see moments where, oh man, if you would come to us with your word, if you have not because you ask not it, we wouldn't have a good answer for it, Lord. And yet we know that you love to provide for your people. You call us to ask, and you love to give good gifts to your children. And so my prayer is that for every single man here, that we would give ourselves to this, Lord, by your power and for the sake of your name. And Lord, that you would bring a tremendous fruit from it. Father, may it develop many good things down the road here. May those 2.5 days become weeks upon weeks upon weeks over the course of our lives. We look forward to the fruit, Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.